church here in Mesquite to do. Now, finally, people have been able to see, Lord, and maybe catch a glimpse of the vision that you've given us. Lord, there's a lot to do, a lot of finances involved, but, Lord, you're a big God, and we're not going to worry about those things. When we talk about amounts, they're simply that, amounts. There are great needs there, Lord, but primarily our need and our desire is to just to embrace the people, Lord, and to pursue this connection that you've made. So, Father, as we go forward now for the rest of our time together here this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see exactly what your heart is for the people of Vilankulu, for the Chitswa, Lord, and that we might just get that sense, get that excitement about what you want us to do. So, Father, take this time that remains, Lord. Be honored, be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now remember last week, this is the Sheetswa. That's, you say it, the X is pronounced sh, like SH. Okay, so that's how you can see it. That is the language that was being spoken of in the church. If you were listening when we were in the car and I was filming the trip to go to church, and believe me, it's worse than it looks. And that was actually a very good road. There are places out there that are absolutely brutal, and this is what it's like. This is where you minister. You take these long trips, and God help you, literally, if you break down out there, because there's nothing and there's no one out there. So you've just got to carry everything that you sort of think that you're going to need. You know, spare tires, stuff to fix hoses if you blow a hose, punch a hole in your oil pan or your tranny or whatever, and, you know, stuff like that. In fact, when we lived in Belize, I used to carry a bar of soap all the time, because I don't know if you guys know this or not, but if you punch a hole in your oil pan or your tranny pan, you stick a bar of soap and rub it in there, and it'll actually hold it so you can get out of there if you don't have any JB Weld or anything else. But anyway, so you got to be very prepared. I mean, a lot of people think the missionary field is much like Kenny was describing, where that the missionaries sit around and read the Bible all day and they teach, and this is all they do. That's life in the mission field. It's tough. And you get done with a day like that and sweating and climbing that hill and stuff like that, and there's no place to go to the bathroom. There's no place to shower when you get back, and it's just a nightmare. And then you try to sleep all night as the mosquitoes and the critters and stuff are buzzing around. And it just is relentless, and it does wear you down. So, but it's a great ministry. It really is, and I'm excited to go back next year. And for those of you, of course, I just said that, I'm probably dissuaded some of you by saying that, but I, that's not my intention. Believe me, while you're there, you're going to be all caught up in the guys. You're not going to worry about the critters and stuff. So we're going to be making that trip back next week. Now, what we did last time we met is I just simply talked about the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28 here. And really what we did is we looked at the two breakdowns, the go therefore of verse 19. And that, I said, is the role that Luke, who was in the film there, I was getting to that language he was speaking there is Portuguese. Because the Portuguese were in control of Mozambique for a long time, up until I believe it was the 80s, wasn't it, Juan? And they finally in the 80s chased off the Portuguese, and that's why that's the language that Luke was speaking, because that's sort of everybody knows that language, because you have different tribal groups with different languages around the area. This one being Sheetswa, but they all speak Portuguese. Okay. So the go, therefore, is Luke's ministry to go out and to do the talking Bibles and to do, as we talked about last week, the planning and stuff. We're going to take a look at that. And then I believe our role is that second half of that, and means there's something else to be said, and that is to make disciples of all. That's where I believe our role is. And we looked at this. You can see there last time we talked about this cross connection, which is the ministry that Luke is involved in there. Their primary aspect is evangelism, getting out the gospel. Okay, they're going to do that two areas with the pioneering and the planning. And then so I think our role is to make disciples, and that's who we are. Where our role is not going to be evangelism, but discipleship. Now, I can assure you, having been in the field and actually been around the world, having been in a leadership, and they fly us all over the place to have all of these meetings and stuff, that you always see evangelism. Evangelism is always done all over the world. The problem is nobody wants to take the time to do discipleship, to take the people that have come to the Lord and to begin to teach them what that means, and to grow them and to train leadership and so on and so forth. And so discipleship is often the forgotten aspect of the mission field, because it takes commitment. And having lived in 5 years in the rainforests of Belize, I can assure you that it's a constant 24-hour, nonstop ministry to train and equip and so on and so forth. So that's what we're going to do, and we're going to be doing our role where they're planting is to water. And this is through the training center that you saw there. For my desire, the thing that God has put on my heart is to develop a biblical model church, not a church like Calvary Chapel Mesquite. If you saw, we saw that church there. We don't want them to be like us, do we? That was phenomenal, let me tell you. And it went on and on and on. That church service was about 3.5 hours. Huh? You guys think I ramble on. Because what happens is, and that was every week they do this. This wasn't just because we were there as visitors. All of the people come forward. When we got there, the whole church, and it packed. You saw early on there wasn't that many people there, but it was packed wall to wall by the time we left there. And the people would all come up, one by hand, literally, and shake our hands. And then we had a time of prayer, and there must have been 50 people that came forward for prayer, and Juan and I and all the others, we got to pray with these people and lay our hands on them and stuff. And then they started bringing all of these different groups in, the children's ministry, the youth ministry, the women's ministry, the men's ministry, da-da-da-da-da-da, and they all did their thing. This is every week that they do this. The joy of the Lord is real there. When you got to hike 5 miles with a 5-gallon bucket on your head just to get water to cook with and to wash your hands with, you get pretty serious about your faith. And so that's what was going on there. So that leads to the next aspect of the watering aspect is one of the things that we plan to do is the wells, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. And then, of course, the community health aspect of it. We're looking at getting some medical teams in there and in those churches setting up some medical, because these people have Zip out there. They don't even have Band-Aids, let alone. And you saw the little machete that Juan was swinging. Those things can be pretty dangerous. As I was explaining there when we were in Belize, I whacked myself. And so it's really important that we do that stuff. And AIDS is huge. 30% of the Sheetswa, just the Sheetswa, have AIDS. The guy that you saw sliding down the hill, the Belio, with the red stocking cap. Why did he have a stocking cap in the middle of August? Because in Africa, it's winter. Okay, it's their winter. Their summer is December, January, February. So it was only about 80 degrees. So for us, it was wonderful. For them, they were cold. So Belio had that goofy stinking hat on. And he's the one that rescued me on that hill. Because he's the one that drove my carcass up over the top. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it. Well, Abelio has AIDS. And I don't know the details. It's not important that I do. He's a wonderful young fella. He is married, and I don't know the extent of all of that. His father pastors the church of another village that's about 45 minutes from Mahake, which is where we were at. And so there's some real issues that are going on there with the dad situation. But you really can pray for Abelio, because he was really a neat guy, and it was just awesome that he got me up over that mountain. Trust me, that hill, I can't even describe it. It was, Juan can verify, I'm not just making this up. He's a lot shorter, so he got up there a lot easier. Plus he works outside, and I sit behind the desk, so I was dying. So anyway, so what does all this mean? Well, if, like I said, the primary thing for us, Calvary Chapel Mesquite, is to help develop this model church. That's the principle set forth within the book of Acts in the New Testament. The Acts. What is the Acts? The Acts of the Apostles, as they took the message of the gospel and they spread it out. And what they did was they would go into villages and they would share much the same thing that's happening in Africa, in Belize, in Kathmandu, all over Nepal and all over Thailand and the Akha and up there in Burma where we've been, all these places at. That's what they do. You go in there and you establish that church. But you need somebody to come in there and show them what that means. Okay, so you're a church. What does that mean? And so we need to do that. And it starts on, you can see the phrase out of the passage there, that the people there in Acts chapter 2, once the Holy Spirit came upon the people and they began to move out, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayers. That's Acts chapter 2. So everything that we do has got to be built on the apostles' doctrine. In other words, teaching. That's all the word doctrine means, is teaching. So that which they established, having passed that, Jesus passed that on to them, then they pass it on to all of these places that they went. And if you follow the book of Acts through logically, you will find that the book of Acts has no ending. And the reason that the book of Acts has no ending is because we're still writing it 2,000 years later. Because it's still the Acts of the Apostles as we build on that foundation. So that's what the model church is. The model church is one that receives that teaching of the apostles, in other words, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then duplicates itself in other areas. And that's what we're trying to do here. That little church you saw there, it's wonderful, and Pastor Simeon, as you can see, is an amazing, amazing man. And he teaches to the best of his ability, but he has nothing to teach with. It's funny, you see that in the suit, and you think, oh man, look at those. I never wear a suit. But you think, oh, but that, believe me, that's not what it looks like. I mean, that's the only time they wear these things, special things, and somebody had left that with them. But the point is that Victor is doing all of this without any experience. He doesn't understand things. We were able to talk with him. So we need to get in there and help these guys understand what is going on so that we can train them, and then we got to get out of their stinking way and let them move forward. That's the plan. That's how it's supposed to work. They don't need us there. They can do the work just fine. They're already doing it. So all we're going to do is come alongside them for a short period of time and help them get more supplies and things that they're going to need to help them accomplish their task, and then send them out, and we stay out of the way. And then they do what we did with them. They do to the next group, which is called the Endow, which is just north of where the Shitswa are in Mozambique. I'm going to show you that here in just a second. All right. So here's the biblical principle behind this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. You guys hear me say this all the time. And that's because this verse is vitally important to me. It has been for the almost 30 years that I've walked with the Lord. Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy was a young man. He was a Gentile, not a Jew, as Paul was a Jew. And Paul was training him. He embraced the Lord. Timothy became a follower and ultimately became a leader in the church. And so Paul writes 1st and 2nd Timothy, the letters, 1st and 2nd Timothy, to Timothy directly to tell him, to help him understand what it means to be a leader of God's people. That's why 1st and 2nd Timothy are called the pastoral letters, because Paul is writing to them, because Timothy became the pastor of a church that we knew in the Bible times as Ephesus, which is in the area we know today as Turkey. Okay? Timothy became the pastor of that. And so here in the second letter, Paul writes this, and he's telling Timothy what he needs to continue to do. And Paul says to Timothy, he says, look, Tim, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, okay? In other words, this wasn't a one-on-one. You heard these things. You need to commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's the principle. That principle right there has motivated everything I do in ministry from the time I got into ministry some 27 years ago, whatever it was. That's what has motivated me, to pass on to other people. It's not about me getting anything. It's about giving out and training and helping and moving so and forward and stuff like that. So here's, I draw a little graph here so you can just kind of see it. I think it's probably already pretty obvious. The CC Mesquite, the Bible teaching. I will do that. I have actually started, and I've got a couple of things completed now. For now, I'm simply calling it the Vilankulu Bible School. Those guys can call it whatever they want. I just had to put a name on it for now. And what I'm doing is I'm setting up a program so that when I'm there back there again next August with some of you, and you're doing other ministry, I'm going to be training Pastor Simeon and some of those young fellas that you saw there dancing. Those guys are awesome, by the way. And I'm going to share a little bit more about that here as we move on. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to train Pastor Simeon. So I'm setting up this program. And I'm not going to train them to do anything but to teach God's Word. I'm going to teach them to be a Calvary Chapel. They don't need to be a Calvary Chapel. They need to be a Baptist. They don't need to be a Methodist. They don't need to be anything. They need to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Right? So that's what I'm going to teach them to do as best I can. From the Scripture. And when I can get them into the Scripture, then God will take them where He wants them to go. Not where Calvary Chapel Mesquite and Pastor Rick wants them to go. Who cares? That's what I'm going to do. So the teaching there, I'm going to pour into him, you see, and I'm going to do that through the biblical training. And that's what I'm saying. I've got 3 weeks set up. Luke asked me to only do two, but you guys know me. I can't do anything short. It's got to be, so I need that third week. And I'm going to do 5 books in the New Testament. The first week will be IBS, a short version of what we're going to do here starting in October. And then the second week will be New Testament, 5 books. One every day of the week. I'm going to take them through. I'm going to outline it for them, explain what goes on, because they don't know any of this stuff. They have the Bible, but they don't know why it was. Why did Paul write to Timothy like we just talked about? They don't understand that. They don't get it. So I want to help them understand, because it changes everything. So that's what's going on there. See, so we're going to pour into Mahake Church. That's the church that you saw in the video. That's Pastor Simeon going down that road that you saw. And then, so the idea is to do the stuff with him, the biblical training, so that when we conclude our thing, you see, then he goes to the next group, and that's the endow. You can see there, see? Here's the plan. We pour into them, and then they pour into another church, doing what 2 Timothy 2:2 says. We're out of the picture. They're doing it. All right? So that's the plan. That's the hope. That's the desire. Okay? And so here's where we are finally, and this is what I want to put out to you guys. Here's what it's what they have needs for. Now I'm going to show you some numbers here. I don't want you to freak out over this, okay? Because I'm not saying we're responsible for any amount of this. I'm not worried about it. I said Marie and I served 5 years in the rainforest. And we saw God do things that were stunning. Because everybody thinks money, money, money. And it isn't that money's important, because if this is of God, he's going to deal with it. But there are four primary areas which I addressed a couple of weeks ago. The first, to me, is going to be obvious, well, is, continues to be the talking Bibles. Those people that you saw in all of those areas, the Sheetswa, they have a 92%, Luke will probably correct me when he's here in October, but I can't remember exactly, but it's very high, 92% illiteracy rate. They can't read. So we've got all these people that have been in there for 25 years doing Bible translations and have thousands of Bibles and New Testaments in Sheetswa that nobody can read. They're all sitting there. Oh, you give them a Bible. What good is it doing? It's not doing. So the talking Bible, and that's what Luke and them are. So we need to continue to help in that. And then that's the first area that we need to look at. Now, these things, as you already know, are $50 each. We're not asking anybody to do anything. I'm not going to stand up here and ask for you to do buy one, buy two, buy three, whatever. I'm not going to do that. But they want to get 1,500 of these Bibles out next year. They were able to get, I think, 1,200, wasn't it, Luke? Or Luke, Juan? This year, something like that. So I'm not, whatever. This is what it is. We need to finish that training center, okay? That's what it's going to take to do that. We, Juan and I, you could see the building, how we were going, they were going vertical with the walls. Remember you saw that? We're in a discussion with them right now, because having been in Belize, we understand when you live in the bush like that, that if you don't build out a cement, you end up regretting it later on. So we're trying to communicate to them to do a slab, a slabbed roof, in other words, a cement roof, because A, they just got wiped out here a year ago from what they call them over in Africa, typhoon, right? And so they were just, their area was destroyed about a year ago. So we told them, look, if you do this and put this roof on here, then the training center, which is in the village, by the way, and I meant to get the name from Luke, the village where that training center was at, you heard me say in the video there, it's quite a ways from where Luke is actually at, and from Mahake. The name of the village in English is the 24th of September. The reason is because it was the 24th of September, whatever year it was, that they gained victory or independence from Portugal. So that village is named after that. Now, there's obviously a Sheetswa name, but it was like as long as my arm, and I forgot to write it down. But that's what the village is called. So over there on the 24th of September, when we build this thing, if we can put this roof on it, you see, then what we did in Belize, we learned the hard way from the hurricane that destroyed our ministry. I mean, it was devastating. We learned to build out of that stuff and put these things on, because now they not only will they withstand the hurricane force winds, but they also can double as a hurricane shelter for the locals who have no place to go when these things hit. It's nice here in the States, because you can evacuate thousands and thousands and thousands of people within a very short period of time. What happens to the people that live down that road when a hurricane comes their way? They can't go any place, folks. They have nothing. They dig in literally to the ground as best they can to survive these things. So if we can do that and help that, and then obviously then also by having that, you can go up another floor if you need to do it or if you want to do it. So that's what it's going to take to do that. So again, I'm not saying our church is going to be do any or even part of this. That's up to God. I'm just showing you what's out there, what we saw. That's it. So the third thing is that building where I was huffing and puffing on the top of the hill there. That hill that almost killed me, where Abelio came and rescued me. That what we said there, they want to build a church out there. There are four ladies, and I shared this a couple of weeks ago, that are meeting out there, literally under a, what is it? It's a cashew tree. Where I was pointing, you couldn't really see it, but there's a cleared area there. The ladies actually did that because the village chief gave that land to Luke and his parents because they had gone in there and helped these people with some medical treatment and some other things, and so they literally donated this land. So those ladies had cleared that land when we got there, and they were meeting under a cashew tree every week to pray for God to move amongst them. And like I said in the thing, their confusion is they want a church. They think that a building is a church, and so I tried to explain to them the church is not a building. This is just a building. The church is you and me and us, right? So I said, the church is already here. We just need a building so you guys can meet in. And that's going to take, as you can see, they're roughly, by their estimates, 8,000. The reason that's so much cheaper than the training center, because they're going to build with local stuff. The reason it's cost that much is because, remember, they're on an island 2.5 hours out. And so you've got to pay to get it. The materials that are not available on Benguera, you've got to get that stuff out there. Lastly, and this is a biggie, and I probably should have put this higher up on the list because this is putting in these wells. I thought I had put the part of the video in there to show you, but we looked at a bunch of different options for doing the wells. The one that we determined to do is the one that it's like a submersible. It's with a hand crank to do this. I think I explained that last time, and you case it down as you go. And then obviously there's no electricity or anything out there, so we need to put one of those hand pump wells on that. The estimate as it stands, according to Luke, he's looking deeper into this, we'll know more, is going to run roughly 2,000 US per well. Now that's pretty good to get people water to an entire village. And trust me, if we get water in there, we change everything for those people for the good. Everything. So it's huge that we're going to be able to do that. Our thoughts are to put the first one there at Mahake, at the church where we were at there, in the village, because whenever there's a need, the people come there anyways. Plus, of course, we want to say that this is not because of Calvary Chapel Mesquite or even the church fellowship at Mahake. This is the Lord Jesus offering you living water. That's the idea behind that. And so to do that, that's the first place we want to put one, and hopefully with very shortly we'll do that. The second one will be at the training center. Now, you heard me say on the video that they did get city water. Now, let me explain what city water and the 24th of September means. It's a 3/4-inch piece of PVC that runs from God knows where, how many miles it comes from. And so, basically, you can spit harder than the water comes out of the faucet. But, technically, there's water there. One of the things that happened to us is we were waiting for the cement. You heard me say we had to sit and wait because the cement was supposed to be there, and then one of those guys went to get it because it wasn't there, was that now we got the cement, we got no water. Imagine that. Welcome to the mission field. So what we did is they jumped back in the truck. They made the drive all the way back to the house where Luke is staying at, where it's sort of a teen house, and they actually filled 250-gallon drums of water and drove it back out there, and that's what we used to make the cement, to make the mortar and stuff between the block that you saw there. So every time you think you're going to have a successful day in the mission field, oh yeah, we're going to go out there, we're going to knock out this wall, we're going to, you know, mix the cement, we're going to have guys running and stuff like that, you get out there, there's no cement. So you send somebody an hour and a half into town, literally, because they're driving on those kinds of roads, to go into town, Vilakulu, and to go in there and to buy the cement. You get out there and everybody's working and offloading these 110-pound bags of cement and they ain't stacking them and just going, yeah, we're ready, let's start to mix. What happened to the water? Because that city water had been shut off for 3 days. Nobody knows why. So I'm telling you all that to say that the second will, obviously, will be, we're going to put in there at the training center. And it will obviously do the same for the other thing. So I'm really excited about what part God has for us to play in this. And I can assure you, Luke is fired up. I just got an email from him. I replied to it this morning as I was preparing for this morning. Sent it back off to him. One of the things, many of those guys that you saw there, the dancing guys, are the guys that work directly with Luke, and they're young fellas. They're 20 to 30-somethings is what I would call them. And we have matching here in the church, don't we? Not that there's anything wrong with anybody over 30, right? I'm in that category. By the way, Jeffy's birthday is today, if you want to give him a call in Phoenix. My little brother. My little brother's 50 today. Oof. What does that say about big brother? Anyway, but what were I said that and I threw myself off. What was I talking about, Terry?
About the second 20s and 30s.
Oh, the 20s and 30s, the guys. And they have nothing. Pastor Simeon, the Bible that he uses when we, on one of the trips out to the island, it's a little paperback Bible in Portuguese. It had gotten wet. And you know what happens to paper, right? His Bible is now like this thick. It's like this big balloon thing. And he just, so he flips through the pages and stuff like that. And I'm like looking at this and I'm going, oh my gosh. Well, the guys, his guys, they're these wonderful kids. Victor, you saw him, the one I was staring at and you guys were laughing at me when he was translating. Really good guy. He speaks pretty decent English. Okay. In fact, he's the one I'm sending the material to. He's going to translate the Bible school curriculum. He's going to translate that into Portuguese. He's got a big job ahead of him. Trust me. There's probably 200 pages that I've sent him just so far. So anyway, but these guys don't have anything. And so Juan and I were talking to Luke, and it was like, dude, you know, why can't you get these guys a Bible? I mean, they don't need the talking Bibles. They can read a Bible. They can study. They can teach. They can share. He goes, because there were none available. So we said, well, is there any place in Mozambique? He goes, oh, yes, in Maputo, which is the capital of the city. And let me jump to the map here, and I'll show you. Maputo is down here. You can see here, that's the capital. Up here is where we were at, in Vilanculo. Those islands right there are where that island of Benguera was. That's where we were at, okay? Right there on the Indian Ocean. Beautiful place, but very, very, very remote. But anyway, in Maputo, where'd my arrow go? There it is. I know it's there someplace. In Maputo, which is about to get down there, believe it or not, this is the only paved road in the entire country. And it would not be what something you and I would call as a paved road. There were bumps in that thing that literally almost threw us out of the vehicle. I mean, it was unbelievable. We're not talking potholes, folks. We're talking potholes. The entire front end of the truck will disappear into these things. Well, there's no one there to fix them, but that's the drive. And it's 11 and a half hours from Vilanculo to Maputo, but Luke drives into Maputo because for people to fly out, okay? And he just took his mom and dad about 2 weeks ago. So he was in Maputo. He said there's a Bible center there, Bible Society. He said, and they have Portuguese Bibles there. And he said, and they're study Bibles. These guys have never even seen a Bible study, a study Bible that has, you know, cross references and some definitions of words, introduction, maybe an outline of the scripture. And I said, dude, you need to get those Bibles for these guys. And of course, he said, well, you know, missionary, well, we don't have the funds to do it. I said, just get them. I just got the email from him. He was there in Maputo. This was awesome, man. Just think about it. He was able to buy 8 of them, and he brought them back. It was 320 US. And he brought them back to the guys, and he handed them out to the guys, and he wrote, he said, Pastor Rick, he said, these guys were literally doing backflips. He said they could not believe that even something like this existed, let alone that they would ever own one. Oh, my goodness. Gets you, doesn't it? Crud, I got 15 of these stinking things on my desk. Anyway. And he said, and it was so awesome because this is not the rainy season. It's not supposed to rain during this period of time. And he said, no sooner did we show up and ask these things out. And he said, they were literally crying. He said, and they were so excited about all of this. He said, and all of a sudden it clouded over and it started to pour with the rain. He said, so guess what they did? He said, we all went into the house. And he said, like for 8 hours, these guys just sat and read their new Bibles. So you see how important this kind of stuff is? What a blessing for these guys to receive something that we throw on the counter when we get home because it's no longer Sunday morning to impress everybody when we show up at church. Right? These guys, these things are amazing to them. And so, what a blessing that was. Now, one last thing here, and then we're closed because we have prayer around the world to go through. Like I said, Luke is based out of Vilanculo. It's a village of about... probably 4,000 or 5,000? It's very similar to a city, a little town that we lived in the bush, Juan and Karen and I, and Marie and Helen, Marie and I and Trav and Liz. We lived about 10 miles inland from the Caribbean in the rainforest, right? And then there was a little town right on the water that was called Punta Gorda. We called it PG. And PG was about roughly, they said 4,000, but I think they were lying, frankly. But anyway, it was a little tiny town right there on the coast. And Vilanculo was very similar to that. It was kind of eerie how close Vilanculu was to PG, and of course you had to go into Vilanculu. But this is this area here, and this map isn't quite the best, but this river here, the Save, basically Luke drew, I've got another map, which I'm actually going to get up on the wall there as soon as I remember to bring it in, and he drew a box, and this box went to about there, and it comes down to a place down here, it's called Chai Chai, it's roughly in this area here. And this, all the way up in here, this box, this is the area of the tribal group, the Shitswa, which is Luke is working with primarily. They feel they've got about a year left to continue to reach out, because remember, he bases in Vilanculu, but he goes out to all these villages, all out into here, and it's those roads that you saw. There is no pavement going out that way, no street lights, nothing. And so he ministers out there, and times they're so far out that he will take a tent, and he'll actually sleep out there while he ministers to those people. So once he reaches the far areas of that, then his plan is, like I said, the Save River here, the line comes across here and drops down. From this area over here is where the Ndao are, a whole other tribal group. And so Luke is hoping that within a year, year and a half, to expand and get the talking Bible in the Ndao language, and the same thing that has happened for the Shitswa, to do the same thing there and to expand. That's why I want to get Pastor Simon ready, because they're the ones that are going to be doing this. Okay? So there's a little bit of what's going on. You can just get your bearings here. South Africa, Johannesburg is roughly down towards the bottom here. You can't really see it. That's where we landed, and then you take, that's international, and then you take a little puddle jumper and fly from Johannesburg and fly right into a little tiny Vilanculu there. It's a little runway, very similar to what we had in Belize, little room, probably, 30 by 30, which is the airport where you get off and you have to clear customs and all that stuff, very similar to Belize. When we go with a team, and we are going with a team, right? Amen. Because some of us are going, you just don't know it yet. what will happen is, because there's so many of us, we'll bring in talking Bibles, okay? And so what we'll do is we'll land in Johannesburg down here. Luke will make the, I think it's like a two-day drive to get down to Johannesburg. He'll pick us up there. We'll put all of our stuff in, and then we drive up. And what you're seeing here is that place called Kruger National Park. Okay, and we'll drive. It's a two-day drive, like I said, back out. We stay in the Kruger National Park. Kruger National Park is one of those that you see on National Geographic or whatever, where the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, are running around. It's one of those places. So we're going to go on our way back. We'll go into Kruger National Park here and spend the night. I'd like to tell you, just to have some fun with it, that, like I said before, that we're just going to pull off the side of the road and throw up tents and everybody's going to sleep outside, but I can't lie because this is church. So actually, that would be pretty cool. There's actually a very nice little sort of an inn there that where they have a special deal to stay at. So don't worry about sleeping alongside of the road. And then get up and drive into Maputo and then get all the way up in here to Vilanculu. So just that shows you a little bit. Zimbabwe, if you've been watching the news, right next door, very, very dangerous place to be right now. There's a ton of stuff going on, and the fear Luke has is that everything that happens in Africa bleeds from one country to another. So Zimbabwe is in huge amounts of trouble right now. And then, of course, up here we would say Tanzania, but the Shitswa call it Tanzania. And there's some unrest that's going on there. Of course, you can see Malawi and then Zambia. So that kind of just gives you a bit. If you look this map right over here, if you look off to the right here, Madagascar. So if your kids saw the movie, Madagascar, that's where it was filmed. No, just kidding. It's a cartoon. Okay, but anyway. But that gives you an idea of what's going on. Amen? So I'm going to put a map over here to join the other maps. You can see the Thailand-Burma thing there where we work over there with the tribal group, the Akha out of Burma, and that's over there. So I'm going to try to set this up probably on this side, and you can be able to target this and get a little more with your prayers. But as Juan said in the video there when he was sharing, our God is good. Our God is great. There's a reason that he tied us into, of all places, anybody in here, raise your hand if you ever thought that this church would have anything to do with Vilanculu in Mozambique and the Shitswa tribal group. I didn't. So clearly, God has done something here. He has opened up a door. When he does that, he intends for us to walk through. And so I believe, as I've shared with you, and that this is one of the doors that we've gone through, the door with the Akha there in Thailand. Our time there is pretty basically finished. Our time, Marie and I and everybody else from Belize, our time is finished there. And now God has opened up another door of opportunity for us in Africa. So pray about it, all right? That's a little bit about what's going on. Now, we don't want to do this on Sundays, and I want to hurry because we're kind of running out of time here. Anybody have any questions or anything that you're confused about from Sunday morning that's not normal for do that, but anything I can explain to you or Juan can answer? Yes, sir. What do you want? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Now, this is going to freak you out, too, but I'm telling you, stop worrying about money. Stop doing what... No, I can't say because she's not here and she can't defend herself. Stop looking at everything through a dollar sign. That's the thing you got to do. If the Lord wants you to go, you're going to go. $3,400 will get you there. You say, oh, that's a lot. It is a lot. But that's your international flight. That's your, they're picking up. That's your stay in Kruger National Park. That's your drive all the way into Vilanculu. That's your ministry as you do that. That's your little flight back because you fly back. The same kind of thing Juan and I did when we flew back to Johannesburg. So you fly out. You drive and fly out and get you back to the U.S. That's for room and board and lodging the whole time you're there. So it covers a lot, and it is a lot. But let me tell you something. If God wants you to go, and you really believe God wants you to go, stop worrying about it, man. You're going. He's not going to let a little thing like that stand in the way of getting you out there to minister his people in Mozambique. Please. Nothing's going to stop that. No government's going to stop that. No empire's going to stop that. No one's stopping that. If you believe God wants you to go, you're going. Simple as that. And we all do like... Elijah does, though, right? We're all big, strong, and everything like that. And, oh, yeah, God will do that, he'll do that. But I'm not going if there's snakes. Well, there's snakes. If you're going, God will get you there. He'll keep the snakes away. Or at least if you get bit, you won't die. How's that? Just kidding. So there you have it. So $3,400. So you know what? If there's something on your heart, start putting a little away here and now and just watch God work. I'm telling you, I've seen it for 30 years and it never ceases to amaze me. That's how we get to go all of these places. God always provides. Always. And he always will. It's his word, people. Of course he's going to get it out there, especially for those who are willing to take it. Amen? All right. With all that, let's stand and close in a word of prayer. We're going to meet in about 10-15 minutes back in here for a prayer around the world for those of you that want to stay. Probably watch a little bit more of the video. I think we've got some more back there. And talk a little bit more about that more slowly. It's good to have you guys here. It's good to be back. Wasn't Michael awesome last week? Whoa, that was cool to get to hear about what God is doing in Nepal. By the way, we're trying to get him. I'm going to talk to Jeffy later today for his birthday. Michael wasn't able to get to Phoenix to see Jeff, and so we're talking between the two churches, Jeff's church in Phoenix and ours here, about actually trying to get them back here from New Jersey after Pasang has the baby. So hopefully we'll have them back in November with Pasang and the baby, and of course Michael again. So you can pray about that as well. Father, we are so grateful for what you've done, Lord, and not so much just what you've done, but what you continue to do. And Lord, you know, amaze us with the future that you have. We're not looking to make these trips because we want to do the touristy, sightseeing kind of thing. It's anything but tourist, being a tourist when we go to these areas. It's hard, hot, sweaty, difficult work, Lord. It's certainly not a vacation. But, Lord, it's necessary because we can do for those people what they cannot do for themselves and help them to do that for others in their future. So, Lord, we pray for the Sheetswa. I pray specifically for Pastor Simeon as he leads his people. And as he encourages them, Lord, may the study Bibles that they now have in their hands become tools not of the Sheetswa, Lord, but tools of the Master available to the Sheetswa, that they might take the light into the darkness again. So, Father, we're just grateful for all of those things that you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us this morning. And though it's not a normal morning that takes place here, Lord, it's been a good morning to talk about these things because this is all about you ultimately, Lord. So thanks for being here with us. Now, go with us, Lord. Bring us back safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. Have a great day.